I listened to all the literature, and somebody said, don't matter how you got here. They said, as long as you allow us to help you with your problem, then we can give you the solution to it, but you got to let us know what your problem is. So you first have to admit that you're an addict. And I didn't like that. And I was like, I ain't saying I'm no addict. I ain't no addict. I just used a little bit. And somebody said, well, Zakiya, if you only use a little bit, then why are you in Narcotics Anonymous? You sure wasn't just coming to see what we was doing. So I started accepting the powerlessness that I had a disease that was always making me have that self-deception, the disease that always told me that, you know, you are not who you think you are. Because in all reality, you are an addict who don't have to use like everybody else, but if it brought you into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, you obviously had a problem. So I sat here and I struggled with that for some months, but y'all told me that if you don't pick it up, you won't get high, and if you bring the body, the mind will follow. So I just came. I just kept coming. I just kept showing up. I made a 90 on top of 90 because I didn't have any other means because I wasn't employable anymore. I no longer was able to go to jobs and tell my supervisor how to supervise me because they told me, you ain't going to tell us what to do. See you later. Bye. So I'm 62 years old, and I have to say that in all the years, and I've worked since I was 14 years old, but I've only lasted on a job maybe 7 years at the most in all the years that I worked. So y'all told me that insanity was repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So that made me have to go back and look at some of my patterns, look at some of my behaviors, look at some of the things that I thought was okay. And I had to realize that, Zakiya, it's nothing intelligent about that. There's something wrong with that picture. You need to do something about that. So y'all told me that there's a power that's greater than me, and at the times it was the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, because I was struggling with that power that y'all told me that I needed to believe in. Because the power that I understood from what my mother told me, because she was so busy trying to help 11 children stay on the right path, that she came up with her own cliches, and she said, if you don't do what God tell you to do, you're going to be punished, and he's going to strike you dead. So you know me, I'm rebellious because my disease was progressing. So I was like, I'm gonna see if this is going to work. I'm going to do the worst thing I could possibly do. So then when God didn't strike me dead, I was like, see, ain't no God. So God ain't strike me dead, so I could do what I want to do. So when my brother started molesting me, and I talk about this a lot because that's a healing process for me. My brother molested me from the time I was 5 till I was 14, and that was a very difficult period for me because I didn't understand what he was doing to me, but it felt good, but I knew he was my brother, and it was just something about what he was doing, because one thing that I found out after turning my will and life over to a care of a God, good all in that direction, y'all told me. That could be good enough. You ain't got to get into no profound understanding of it. Just make sure you don't think you it. Because you did that for so long, and you kept bumping your head, getting hickeys, and every time that hickey went down, you forgot you had a hickey, and then you got another one, and when it went down, you forgot you had another one, and that was the insanity. So they said, you need to turn it over to something, something greater than you, Zakiya. So I began to pray, and, you know, people was telling me different ways to do it, and I was just trying whatever way y'all told me because I had forgot how to do that. Because I was angry at the God, because I felt like, why am I going through these things? Why is it that I'm in a family of 11 brothers and sisters, and they act like they don't like me? Why are they calling me names? That's not my name. You know, I used to powder lap because I told you in my household, we couldn't say what we felt, so I used to pout. So my brothers and sisters have said, you're going to have big lips. So they start calling me Libby Lips. You know, and there was this commercial. It was called Libby. Libby, Libby on the table. And I was like, wow. And they was like, that's you, Zakiya. And I used to hate when that commercial came on, and it seemed like it came on every 2 seconds. So I was like, dang, why they keep picking with me? Why are they messing with me? I don't want no trouble. So, you know, getting a sponsor and getting a home group, you know, and I started looking at the 4-step. My sponsor told me at 6 months clean, do the 4 steps, Zakiya. because I still felt like using. And I didn't want to do it. I was like, hey, I only got 6 months. I ain't got to do that fourth step yet. And it's not that I was afraid to do the fourth step. I still wanted to run my own life. And y'all told me to get a sponsor, and the sponsor is somebody that's going to guide me. So I took 3 more months of pain, and at 9 months, I started doing the fourth step. I did my first fourth step in 9 months, and then I said, God, if I could just write one page. And I prayed, and next thing I know, I was writing 7 pages, and 8, I couldn't stop writing. I just kept writing, I kept writing, I kept writing, I kept bringing out all of those things that I had said that I was going to die with. And y'all told me that secrets keep you sick. So I had to expose the fact that I liked the feeling that my brother was giving me. I didn't want to tell y'all that. I came in the rooms at 35 years old, and I felt like I was like 18 or 19 years old. So after I did that, there was some freedom there. So when I had to tell y'all exactly what the exact nature was and to be able to tell y'all, I liked the feeling. Because somebody said, well, how come you never told your mother? And my excuse was, well, she said that we should be seen and not heard. So they said, no, let's really get to the exact nature. And when I kept saying, well, it was because she was a mean person. She was strict, you know, and she always put me on punishment. They was like, no, Zakiya, let's get to the exact nature. They wasn't allowing me to come up with excuses. And I said, I liked the feeling. That was hard to say, that my brother was giving me a feeling and I liked the feeling. And all those years that I was holding on to that, the reason why I didn't tell was because I liked the feeling. So when y'all said to me, and when I was saying it to the person, I was waiting for them to say, oh my God, you should be ashamed of yourself. But they said, it's okay, Zakiya. You are 5 years old. You are a baby. So all that guilt and shame, it was starting to lift up off of me. You know, so it began to show me the defects that I had, the anger, the resentment, the fear. I had a lot of anger with men. I didn't want nothing that my mom used to keep saying, she had her own little cliches. She never explained them. She used to say, boys and books don't mix. And she used to say things like, all men want you for is to be a bed partner. And I didn't understand that. So everything my mom said to me that was supposed to help me to understand and get some direction in my life, I did those things. And I was like, that ain't true. They don't just want me for a bed partner. I want them for a bed partner. So the information that she didn't give me, it didn't help me because I use it as a way to continue those behaviors. So I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. The boogaboos, the four-step talks about started coming out. So I just started looking around. I was cool with doing my fourth circle. I was like, damn, that's him. That's him. And I found myself sleeping with a lot of people, men in the fellowship. But one of the things that I'm learning today is no matter what I did, I don't let nobody hold me hostage to the things that I went through. Because those are the things that have built my character today. This is a disease that will use anything. Anything. And when I hear people talk about, yeah, well, I ain't sleeping nobody in the room. So what? So what? Because this disease will have us wanting to separate ourselves and think that this disease has different levels and different degrees, and that our grandiosity, which is part of a character defect, will make us think that our disease is better than somebody else's. It took me time to close my legs and realize that what I had inside of me, the shortcomings that I was allowing myself to get through, where I knew that I no longer had to sleep with somebody in order to validate who I was, because I was beginning to go inside and I was beginning to understand that, Zakiya, that ain't gonna make nobody love you no more. That what you need to do is try to get to know a person for themselves. And in doing that, I built a lot of platonic relationships with men in this fellowship, because I didn't know that me laying down with those men was my anger towards my brother And what I was doing was I was trying to still find that feeling that he gave me the first time he touched me. Now, I'm talking about I was doing that before I picked up the drug. So, it took time. And it wasn't so much about y'all embarrassing me. When I looked up and started looking around, I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh. I had to put my hands in my pocket because it's starting to be quite a bit. But as I began to understand how this disease worked, I no longer felt the guilt and shame. I knew that my disease was working on me and attacking me in the thing that I struggle with the most. And that's that emotional feeling. My disease always will attack me where it knows that I will pay attention to it. So I stay here so that I can keep paying attention to how this disease is trying to attack me. I sit in the front. I keep my mouth shut for an hour and a half. Let me say this, and I'm not talking about nobody. I'm just talking about how much I love Narcotics Anonymous and the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and I got to say that and show it in the way I live. The first amends I had to make to me and my children, but when I come in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and I stay here, I have to remember that when I walk in the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, that the purpose of me being here is because I don't know how to live with or without drugs. So when I come into a meeting, it is my responsibility to help maintain the atmosphere of recovery. And it is important for me, and I've been saying this because I'm just getting a little scared for our fellowship, because our fellowship is still in an infantile stage, and the reason why we're in an infantile stage is because we refuse to come into the meetings of Narcotics Anonymous and practice the very spiritual principles that we say we love, the gift that we say that it has given us, and the place that we're supposed to learn how to practice it the most. So it scares me when I come into a meeting because my life is at stake. I'm either feeling homicidal or suicidal. Don't let the dress up get you fooled because my life is always at stake. The eighth and ninth step told me I need to make amends. So making amends means that I now know the harm that I caused. So if I know the harm that I've caused people, I got to make sure that I'm not causing harm to Narcotics Anonymous. That when I come in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, that I can't look at the young lady in the pink and think that she's okay because she might be going through something and she might need to hear something. And if I don't feel like I want to hear what the speaker have to say, then maybe I need to just shut up so that the person who's next to me can get what they need so they can stay clean. Because we talk about no addict need die seeking recovery, and that means a lot to me. So I got to ask myself, am I one of those people that keep that addict from seeking recovery? Because I want to take advantage of the very thing. See, I've learned today how to have a little bit of healthy love. And having healthy love means that I'm learning how to treat myself better. The 10th step. Because I'm looking at myself. I now know what I like. I know what I don't like. So in treating myself better, I am learning that healthy love means having respect for that what I say I love. And if I say I love Narcotics Anonymous and the spiritual principles that has breathed the life in me, that has given me that breath of life, that allows me to wake up, even though some days life is overwhelming with the bills and what should I pay and what shouldn't I pay and why can't I get somebody to help me and why am I still single at 62 years old? I'm a good woman. I know I am. And I got to say, God, I know you're trying to build my character. I know you're trying to give me something because I always think that what I need is on the outside of me. And God said, if I wanted you to have a man, Zakiya, you would have had one. But you don't even believe in me yet, so what you going to do with a man? I am the man, and man to me means mind. I am the mind that you need to pay attention to. Because on any given day, you reject me, and I'm the very one that brought you here and gave you the gift of life. So I get mad at God. I'm like, oh, man. Shucks. But every day I think about God. Every day, I the 11 steps talks about, how just knowing what God wants for me. It's a fleeting glimpse. And I mean, as soon as I blink my eye and open up, I'm like, what you say, God? Because I done forgot. I don't want to be in control of my life, but because I've used drugs for so long, and even before I started using drugs, because I always want to control the outcomes of every situation I was in, that's still there. So sometimes me and my God, we be rumbling. You know I lose, right? I lose. But the God that understands me allows me my will. My God is the one who says, Zaki, go ahead. Go on and do what you think you ought to do. I'll be here when you get back. I ain't going nowhere. I can't always expect that from a man. And I had to go back to the thought that I have never had a healthy, intimate relationship with a man. I have never had one. Every man that I chose cheated. Every man that I chose had multiple women. And every time I thought that I was going to be that ultimate authority that was going to change that person and make them love me the way that I wanted to be loved, and I thought that I was going to end up being the monogamous woman. And I was always left on the outside looking in. So God said, build your relationship with me. And if you can try to do that consistently, then you might be able to help me with our mission. And our mission is to make sure that any addict can seek the freedom. Stop using drugs. Seek the freedom. Be happy, joyous, and free. Carry our message. How do you do that, Zakiya? Try to be as loving and caring as you can be. When somebody comes into your home group, welcome them. Make them feel like they belong to a part of. Let the newcomer know that if you got 2 days clean, you could tell the person with 1 day clean how it works. In my home group, I'm trying to get them to take that out the format where the person with 1 year more tells, how is it that we have a program that is so spiritual in nature, but yet we putting time on what we consider a working program? Yeah. Our format says, well, the people with a year more raise their hand to show the newcomer that it works. What? Where is that in our literature? It says a person with 2 days clean that can tell a person with 1 day clean. So when they do it, I don't raise my hand, because that is not, what are you saying to the people that got 353 days down? You saying that the program don't work? So I believe that this program, it works. I stay here despite the fact that my relationship with my children ain't that great since I stopped being their financial advisor. Here, I help you with your bill. Here, I help you with that bill. And I love them as they are, because y'all taught me that. So the solution is in the steps. So I always got to be mindful that when I walk in the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, that the first step that I need to practice is that I'm powerless. So I need to sit down, be quiet, hear our message. Because I know that God is the ultimate authority over us all. And I know that when God has chosen me to be a part of something so great and so awesome, that I need not take advantage of it. I need to believe that I could sit in a meeting for an hour and a half. The 10-step talks about self-discipline. That's what that means to me. I don't try to, people know, don't sit by me and start talking. Nope, I ain't trying to hear it. So for the newer member, get a sponsor. Get some phone numbers. I tell people, tell me, I don't trust nobody. Man, I trust the cop, man. I hope that whatever they gave me was going to work. I hoped it was going to work. And I tried to get as many dope dealers' phone numbers as I could get. So get so many phone numbers as you can. And I go to meetings anywhere. And I hang out with anybody. I don't ask you how much time you got. You want to hang out? Let's hang out. Let's talk. Let's stay in recovery. And I'm one of them addicts, and I'm going to say this in closing, because I was in the ladies' room, a lady shared, she was saying, yeah, I believe no matter what a person going through that they're in recovery, that's my belief. Because even if we're not using drugs, we still in recovery. Thanks for letting me share.